Hey guys, welcome to the Idiot Side Quest.
Hey, you didn't see me there, did you?
Oh god. So we go, this is a podcast where we go on side quests.
Happy Halloween!
Yeah, sure.
Happy Halloween,
Happy
everybody.
Happy Halloween, yeah. Welcome to our Halloween special. For those of you who generally listen to the podcast either on Spotify or iTunes and don't actually watch us on YouTube, let me tell you.
You're missing out
on what
and I'm missing, mostly.
What regret looks like. Just to clear up any confusion, I'm a juggalo for Halloween. It's great. And then Brandon, I would say, is if Jenna Marbles and Green Man had the spawn of Satan.
I'm a mobile green screen. Look at me. It's like I'm not even here. I'm gone. And if you're just listening, I'm always gone, but that's okay.
This episode will fuel your nightmares, which is very fitting for our Halloween episode.
We're reviewing
something.
Mighty terrifying.
Mighty terrifying. Emotionally scarring.
Something you never forget, especially if you were growing up around the year 2004, which is when this movie, incidentally, aired.
On Nick.
No. Cartoon Network.
No, it was Nick.
Is it Nick?
It's Nick.
Oh. Well, anything on Nickelodeon is, you know, ooh.
Cool.
Already nightmare fuel. But we're going over Scary Godmother.
Yep. We're going to be critically reviewing this.
I don't know about that one.
Well-renowned film that many people love, which I did not know existed until you and Logan told me about it. I had no fucking clue that this was a thing.
You wish you had no clue about it, too. But now you know.
I wish.
For those of you who have not seen this masterful piece of work, you can look Scary Godmother up on YouTube. And the entire movie is a 47-minute runtime there. It's like the first result that comes up. Both that and the sequel. We're only going over the first one. Maybe the sequel at a later date. Who knows? Curiosity might be a curious thing.
I think I might be too dead inside. I really, genuinely, like, if Jenna Marbles and Green Man from It's Always Sunny had given birth to the Antichrist.
That's me. I'm here.
I guess we're going to get into this. I'm going to preface this with, apparently my notes didn't save, like half of them did. So it's not going to be the best. But
neither is Scary Godmother, so it doesn't matter.
Yep. So happy Halloween, motherfuckers. Let's get into it, I guess.
Starting off, let's just say, all right, you've either paused the podcast and you've rewatched the movie, or you just remember it because it's something that's really hard to forget. The first thing that strikes you about this beautiful, beautiful movie.
Exquisite
animation. Which I have labeled in my notes as animation equals yikes.
There's really no way to describe the animation. It's
just look at it. And if you're watching on YouTube, I'm sure we have a still pulled up right here which you are looking at just
this exquisite animation.
It's amazing.
So how this movie starts out is, of course, I watch everything on YouTube and listen to everything like faster than it actually is. So it opens with like a scene of people walking trick-or-treating, and because I had it playing so fast, I was like, what the fuck is going on? It looks terrifying if you watch it really sped up.
It's equally scary, slow, trust me.
That's very true. This opens up with a kid dressed as a piece of candy for Halloween. And then a second kid shows up, which, I'm sorry, I don't have their names. You can figure it out. He's dressed up as a car. But then
Bert is the car.
Bert, thank you.
I think it's Jimmy, Bert, Katie, and oh boy. Let's look this up real quick. We're going to need these reference points because they're important.
Oh, yeah, of course. And if you guys are wondering what Dead Inside looks like, it's this. It really is. But yeah, no, I realized after I continued watching that Bert was not dressed up as a car for Halloween. He was dressed up as a baseball player in a car. for Halloween.
In his SUV.
In his SUV. I'm so sorry. The SUV has a glove compartment.
Mm-hmm. That's where you store the candy. Daryl. Daryl is the main kid. Okay. One of the main kids.
I think Daryl's the one that's dressed as candy.
Daryl is the candy. Which also, can I just say he's a giant? I could only think of him as it's like, the way he puts it is he's dressed as a giant piece of candy to where he's compensating and he's going to psychologically coax the people that are handing out candy for Halloween into giving him more candy because they're feeling bad that the candy they're giving out isn't as big as him as a piece of candy.
Yep. This kid's, he's thought of it all. He really has.
He's forward thinking. He's a con man.
And then we get introduced to a small baby, or maybe a baby. I'm not really sure of her age. Her name is Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to preface this by every single character has dots for eyes.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. Except for Hannah. Hannah has actual eyeballs, and I don't really know why. But she does. It's there.
Yeah. I would like to also bring up the fact, so we are introduced to all of our characters here. It's a quick exposition.
It really is.
The movie is shorter. So, I mean, things happen very quickly. We're introduced, though, to the whole gang, and then they're remarking on Hannah's costume, which she's got, like, fairy wings and a crown. The movie is filled with jokes that don't quite come from anywhere, and they don't go anywhere, and they're quick, and I have so many questions, and we'll get into this with several of the jokes, but the first joke that caught my eye was Daryl asking Hannah how she was able to put glitter on her wings because he's not allowed to use glitter anymore after the incident with the glue and the dog, and I'm so concerned.
I want in on this inside joke.
It's so quick. It happens so quick and then it's gone. But I'm sitting there concerned about what was the incident, what's going on. Like, maybe that's their point, but like, I don't know. It's a lot. All right. But yeah, we've been introduced to the cast.
Yep. And then randomly there's a really weird flashback. It's not really clear that it's a flashback until like halfway through.
I mean, they scream flashback.
It's not clear. It really isn't. And then Jimmy, who is a mega dick.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. He's like the bully. He's a school bully. He's dressed as the devil. He's so edgy. He's got the like shortcut blonde hair, spikes.
Yeah.
Like 2004 alternative jerk.
Yep.
That's him.
And so Jimmy's like, fuck Hannah. I want to ditch her in the spook house.
Which is his little cousin is Hannah. That's the connection there.
Which, once again, I'm not sure of her age. It could be anywhere from 2 to 6.
7? Yeah, somewhere in there. Small.
It's not clear. I don't even know how old the other kids are. I'm lost.
I have no idea.
And then all of these assholes get behind this idea. And they're like, yeah, let's fucking send this small child into the spook house when she's very clearly afraid.
And to be fair, to be clear too, for those who don't remember the spook house, it is just an abandoned, fully furnished, but it, you know how these movies always were, it was just the abandoned house, which is for some reason always unlocked.
Yeah,
like first. That's what about the squatters, man? That place was fully furnished. It was like a mansion. It's pretty fancy. It's a nice place.
Yep. And it has like 8 fireplaces.
Yes,
because like you need it.
You do. Most mansions do, you know. I do have a note here. I made a note we both wrote notes as we were watching the movie. Right here at about that point, I couldn't help but write down who thought of this movie. Whose idea? Like, who's sitting at the table, like, of the writers around?
Reading
the
Scary Godmother, because apparently it's a
book. Talking about their ideas. Yeah, apparently it's a kid's book. But, like, someone pitched it. And
someone agreed.
The thing is, it was better than whatever else they were going to produce.
Yeah. We're going to be pretty speechless this episode. Then, after leaving Hannah in the house, she cries. And the tear animation is just so strange. It's like,
wait, there's an animation?
Well, like, I mean,
like how she cries is just,
it's very strange. It's really weird. The scary godmother, she arrives and she is
kind of like a fairy godmother, but scary.
Yes, but a witch. I don't know how to describe her. I'm at a loss of words. You gotta watch this movie. You really do.
The next thing that happens is they're talking about, hey, I'm your scary godmother. Like, what's the matter? And she says that she's afraid. And they're like, well, come with me.
Yeah, let's go to a different dimension.
They whip out of that bitch. They zoom away. And my first question is, how do the big kids not see that?
Not notice it?
Yeah. Not notice her just getting abducted and flown into the sky on a broomstick with some random lady they've never seen before. You don't just let your kids fly away on a magic broomstick with some lady you don't know.
No. And then, so we kind of cut to the rest of the kids that, even though the whole idea of sending Hannah into the spook house was to 100% ditch her, they're like waiting outside for her.
This whole time.
The whole time. I don't really know how well they thought through this plan. We get to Scary Godmother's house. And
it seems pretty lit. It's in the middle of nowhere, though. There's nothing around that house.
I can't.
For miles.
I can't remember, but I believe it.
Miles. It's like the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Courage, the cowardly dog.
We meet Scary Godmother's roommate.
Her roommate.
Yes, I apologize deeply for that inaccuracy. His name is Skelly, and he's a gay icon.
Yeah. He is the skeleton in the closet, and they, like, make the play based off of the fact that the skeleton in the closet is usually your secret, but then they really play off of the fact of in the closet.
Yeah, they hit you with a bat. They really do.
A lot. They make sure you don't get back up.
Yep.
Consistently.
They're just knocking you down. And so we find out that Scary Godmother is hosting a party. And Skelly says that it is the who's boo of parties. Un 110% intentional.
I don't know what to say about
this. This is quality content.
Yeah. It you get to Scary Godmother's house and it. I don't know. The movie is like 60 to 70% just introducing characters and exposition, and then things have to happen really quickly.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, I mean, it's most of the movie is just meeting new people. And it just kind of starts flying through them because we meet Scully and then.
And then we cut back to the asshole kids who are still waiting for the girl that they ditched for literally like 2 seconds. We get that Katie and Daryl are interested in each other.
Oh, yeah. Like, she wants kisses for payment.
Yep. Does that go anywhere other than these 2 seconds that it's on screen? No. It's completely thrown to the wayside.
Yep.
But it's a thing. You should know. And then the first guests to arrive to the who's boos of
my God.
Scary people in Scary Godmother's home is Harry. And I want you to picture this character based on their
name. He's so forward-thinking.
Yup.
Yup. Nice voice break there.
Yup. He is I think he's a werewolf, or maybe he's just like a paranormal wolf, but, you know, he exists.
He is an icon of, also, definitely queer. Just gonna throw that one out there, because him and Scully just start going at it with each other. But he is an icon for furries. I guarantee it. He is so explicit. Like, he's a degenerate. He's, you know, like, not saying that furries are degenerates. I mean, look at me. I'm doing great things with my life. Obviously. But he just has so many tropes. Like, this movie is full of tropes. There's no gray area character. Every character is either completely unwritten, like the kids with the dot eyes, because, you know, that's how much thought they put towards those kids, dot eyes, or they are just so extremely placed
stereotype
in a stereotype.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to remember what exactly they said he does to make his mama proud. It's gonna bug me. I'm gonna have to find that, put in post.
I don't really have the context to this. I'm assuming it comes pretty closely after this because it's in my notes right after this. I just have a point that says how Scary Godmother says voila. I don't.
Voila.
I think it's voila or something like that.
Okay, but, so what I think it is I'm gonna start playing a clip here of audio to listen to, and we are introduced to Harry. He comes into the house. Not only is he a werewolf, he's.
Is he a werewolf though? Like, is he? It's not specified.
He's just a wolf. He's a furry. He's just a straight up furry. And he comes in and he's super hungry. Like, he eats everything. That is his character.
He's here to chow down.
His character is, I come here for food. He also kind of like plays on the arrogance of intelligence, and he's definitely like a drama major, we get later on in the episode.
He's a theater kid,
so
for sure.
He comes in, he's eating all of the hors d'oeuvres as he's talking to Hannah, and then we suddenly get a breakaway sequence where Scary Godmother takes off with another side bit. Here it is, just listen to it.
This is Scary Godmother's side quest.
This is absolutely Scary Godmother's side quest. To be fair, too, at this segment, we're looking at Harry. I'm going to describe the scene to you. We are looking at Harry. It is 18 minutes, 20 seconds in. He's talking while filling his mouth, and then suddenly Scary Godmother just appears in front of the camera. It is terrifying. Like, it is honestly...
It catches you off guard.
It's like a jump scare without being a jump scare.
But it's a kids' movie.
I know it's been described as Slenderman-esque, and I think that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, I would describe it as Slenderman-esque as well.
But then she just starts talking about, and it, as the wolf man is chowing down on treats, how to make some treats.
Yeah.
Here's a treat that's fun to make and helps you get a word in edgewise. Take two of your favorite crackers, spread one with jam, one with peanut butter, smoosh them together, and jam them into the mouth of the chattering werewolf. Voila!
Voila!
I told you, I knew exactly where it was from.
Voila!
Voila! She's giving you a fun treat, but it's honestly, it's just a cracker with a ton of peanut butter on it with a little bit of jam. I don't know why we even need the jam, but he's essentially just saying if you stick peanut butter in the dog's mouth, the dog's just gonna lick the peanut butter and not talk. And like, it's... Voila.
Voila!
Voila.
Next, the vampires show up.
Oh, God.
And their animation is somehow even stranger than everything else's. And they show up, and they're totally down to eat Hannah. Which, if you forgot, Hannah's here.
Hannah is here. And
Hannah
she's,
is here.
So, Hannah... the biggest thing... I think we also left this out. The biggest reason Hannah's so scared is because Jimmy told her that monsters eat little girls. That is the preface.
Because he's a dick.
The big cousin Jimmy said that monsters are going to eat little girls for dinner. And so she's terrified of monsters. And Scary Godmother says that she has a bunch of monsters as friends. And so we're going to go meet all those friends that are monsters. And that's the preface, honestly, of this movie. That is the plot.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm speechless sometimes when I like actually say things out loud.
Like,
they sink in.
I remember writing all of this down and I was like, oh wow, this is a lot. But now, like, actually saying it, it's
something else.
I'm in pain.
But we're going through and we're meeting these monsters, so Hannah gets over her fear of monsters. Meanwhile, Scary Godmother keeps telling her that monsters don't eat little girls, and you have the vampires that show up and are
totally
100%
down. Totally down to eat her. Confuse her as the food at the party. And then...
They're royalty, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. My next note is poor Bugaboo, which is a giant purple monster.
So, another quick joke. I will say, I think animation-wise, although weird, the vampires are probably the best animated in the entire movie by far. If not Scully. Scully's also pretty well
Scully's,
animated.
Scully's the best. Although, I have to say this before I totally forget. I'm so sorry. But one thing that's janky about the animation, and I feel like people who play, like, video games will know what I'm talking about. The animation is fucked up where, at, like, some points, the, like, an arm or, like, a limb or part of the fur will just, like, cut out. I don't know if you noticed that, but I did. It happens with Bugaboo a lot. I think it's because of his shape, but like part of his like body just keys out.
Huh. I didn't notice that. I do know, I remark on the fact that he clips through himself a lot. Like his limbs will just like slide through his body.
Yeah, that happens too.
A lot. The one joke that did get thrown out there is the vampires, they have to be invited in. And then after invited in and greeted, Hannah and the kid talk to each other. But they're also offered a drink. And their drink of choice is a funny joke that it just stands out. I want a Bloody Mary, hold the Mary. That's all I could. A majority of the jokes in this movie, that's like my reaction is
just clap.
If anything, it's like the Jeb Bush thing. Please clap.
Please clap.
Please clap.
I thought this was going to be a funny episode, but this is just
nightmare. It's painful. It's painful. It's painful. It's scary. I'm scared. I'm very scared. But yeah, definitely next thing I see here is Bugaboo clipping through himself is a big thing to me. He is a cool character, I suppose. He makes the quick joke too. So a majority of the jokes that are actually placed into it too, they're very much like they're adult humor.
Yeah, which I mean,
most of the movie is adult humor.
Well, you know that there are parents that have to watch this with their kids. Like, it's just to help them get through somehow. As an adult, it did not.
It's just weird.
Thanks, weird. I hate it.
It's weird humor. But Bugaboo also makes the... Hannah screams when she sees Bugaboo. And apparently what Bugaboo it does for a living is he's a monster under the bed.
Monster Inc.
Yeah, pretty much Monsters Inc. And when Hannah starts screaming when he sees her at the party...
He starts screaming back.
He screams back, and then his reaction is, if I keep scaring kids off the clock, I'm going to have to apply for overtime. And I don't know, every single joke in this movie, it leaves an impression on you, especially if you're watching it now while older. It's just, oh, God. The next thing I have is a very iconic moment in which the kids... figure out that Hannah's not gonna come back. She's not coming outside. Instead of going in, Jimmy says that they should just like wait or something like that because he's the leader. And then they start arguing about who is the leader of this trio because they never talk about a leader. And so they demand that they vote for a leader. And
who made you leader?
What do you mean? Of course I'm the leader.
That's not fair. We didn't even vote.
You want to vote? Fine. We'll vote. Who wants me for leader?
I'm dead inside.
Okay.
Jimmy raises his hand.
Who wants Bert for leader?
Bert raises his hands.
And turns into the motherfucking alien.
Yes, he does.
Katie.
That's one vote for everyone.
And the thing that happens there that you can't see if you're just listening is we do get a small another hint at their feelings towards each other because Katie votes for Daryl and Daryl votes for Katie.
So cute.
So kawaii. But yeah, it's one vote for everyone. And then we go into this.
That's still one vote for everyone.
I'm sorry.
Recount.
I'm genuine.
That's
I'm
one
so
vote
sorry.
For everyone. Recount.
What are you doing? Nobody has changed their vote.
This happens for like 2.5 minutes of the movie. They demand recounts, and Daryl just keeps counting it. And eventually they settle on rock, paper, scissors. Spoiler alert, Jimmy tricks everybody.
Talking.
Slipping Jimmy. This kid, asshole. He is grade A.
Mega douche.
Mega douche.
Also, I think it was around this point in time, which, just to reference, we're more than halfway in. I have a note that says, I thought Jimmy was her brother this entire time, but I guess he's her cousin.
Yes.
I didn't find that out until now.
Yes, yes. It's stated at the very beginning, and then it's referenced more later. A little bit more.
You can sell your soul for 12 pizzas.
Yes.
And sign a deal with the devil.
Yes. Before that happens...
Because Harry ate all the food at the party.
Before that happens, while Harry is eating the food, Max, the adult dad vampire. So there's three vampires in this.
Yeah.
There's a mom, dad, the royalty, and their kid. Max and Ophelia are the parents. Max is talking to the other adults at the party about how time changes everything and how she's a vampire queen, and she used to be, like, she used to look more of a queen. He makes a retort on how she dresses, and he's ashamed, embarrassed by the fact that he can see, almost see, Ophelia's ankles. And it's incredibly upsetting to
Trash.
Him.
So I think it might be at this point where the dad vampire literally just takes you to a Rez concert, and, like, his eyes turn into spirals, and he just hypnotizes Harry to pass out because he's annoying him.
No, that was earlier. He does do this. It's at this point that he accidentally, I think, wakes Harry up.
Oh, damn.
And that's why all the treats get eaten, because Harry is suddenly awake and goes, oh, look, food.
I also have a note, I think it is around this time, where it just says, insecure vampire is so hashtag deep.
Yep. Yeah, he has the breakdown talking about Ophelia's ankles, and then after, like, people don't really agree with him, he goes and sits on the couch, and then we get, like, a 1 minute monologue about how insecure he is at parties and how people don't like him. It's like his character entirely changes from, like, vampire king, who's, like, assertive and knows what he's doing, to just, like, you know, damn boy, that's a mood, I feel that, that's some teen angst insecurity coming out right there.
Sometimes.
Yeah, and then I have here that Harry breaks the fourth wall. He does that a lot suddenly.
He does.
He wakes up and he's just the drama major, and he points out things that we shouldn't know about.
I guess Hannah's
in the spook house.
Yeah, Hannah's just chill with all of the monsters now after being at this home for, like, maybe an hour and eating some pizza. Mm-hmm. The monsters decide, hey, Jimmy and his friends are dicks, which they're absolutely right.
I need to stop you there. One more thing before we move on towards the end game of this movie. Like, I just watched this movie today. Like, I have feelings on the chronological order. One, you signed the deal for the pizza because he's like a skeleton, but he's also signing deals for the devil, and they don't want that. And they don't have the cash for it. And so to find cash for it, they go over to Bugaboo.
Oh, yeah.
Because he hides under kids' beds all day. So things have to stick to him. So we get a really, like, weird looking animation in which they're pulling shit, like, out of his crotch. Like, they say they find it in his armpit, but, like, all the characters are down in his crotch, just, like, going to town, pulling things out of there. And then there's one more soundbite that I just really need, like, to point out. They're talking to the vampires about, like, garlic on pizza, and Hannah and Bugaboo don't want to try the blood pizza, so they get out of it by talking about how they've eaten garlic on their pizza, and if they take a bite of his pizza, it's going to hurt him. But then suddenly, out of nowhere, comes a joke. Please listen.
Well, we've been eating pizza with garlic, and if our teeth touched your pizza, and then you ate it...
Oh, yeah! Your allergy!
Whoa, thanks. I wasn't thinking.
So other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the show?
I hate this episode. I hate it. I hate it so much.
They throw in a joke about the Lincoln assassination. That is the biggest thing about this movie to me. It's just... out of nowhere. Like, most jokes are out of nowhere, but this is a kid's movie, and they suddenly make a joke about the Lincoln assassination. And it's met with that cricket reception, but, like... Why? Sorry, listeners. I have so many thoughts. Like, just why? Why? This is so above kids' heads. Even if you're, like, an adult and you know that it's a Lincoln joke, like, why is it there? Why? Why Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon, whoever made this movie, why? Just...
why?
Okay, now we can move on.
So my last note, I think this is where I just... the rest didn't save or whatever.
Or you just drew the line morally, maybe, personally.
Yeah, maybe I was like, I give up. This is the end. I'm ready to die. My last note is, they take time to animate, like, you zoom into somebody's mouth screaming, like, inside their mouth, and they take the time to animate a uvula with a mouth that's screaming as well.
That's some alien shit, man.
You got anything else?
Yeah, I do. Thank you for asking. So we go back, as Leah was saying earlier, to these kiddos. Hannah's talking about the kids and how they wanted to scare her in the spook house. So now the monsters say, you know what? Let's go back and spook them. Let's scare these kids. How could they do this to poor Hannah? And so it's a setup. The kids finally decide, you know what? We gotta go save Hannah. Incidentally, at the same time that Hannah and all the monsters are coming back.
Because plot.
Oh, the big plot mover is that Bugaboo is asking about who has done this.
Bugaboo's out for revenge.
And Hannah states, it just gives a quick description of her cousin Jimmy, and Bugaboo goes, "That's one of the kids on my list. I scare him every other Tuesday."
And I forgot about this.
So they're like, Hannah goes, "Big kids get scared too?" And they're like, "Yeah, of course they get scared too." And so that's why they go back. They're like, "Let's go scare the big kids." And so it sets this whole plot into motion.
Also, I want to say that at this point, the vampires are still down to eat Hannah.
Very, very down. There's a lot of that, like, kind of referenced. But it's at this point that we start going back, and as they're scaring the big kids start getting real eyes.
Oh, no.
They go from dot eyes to, like, real eyes in and out, but it's never consistent. Like, there's one scene that they're in the dark.
And they have eyes magically.
As Jimmy is running and scared, every time Jimmy gets scared, Jimmy gets real eyes. It's only Jimmy that gets the real eyes when he's scared, though.
The other ones, the dots just get bigger.
The dots get bigger. Jimmy gets real eyes. You can see the whites of Jimmy's eyes. He's so scared. I don't know if that's a joke in itself. I have a note here. At 44:15, you get a very succinct animation of Save Me, where Jimmy states the words Save Me. Oh, yeah. By the way, so the monsters are scaring everybody, and Hannah shows up with her flashlight. And the monsters pretend like they are dying or scared of the flashlight. So Hannah's like the hero. So Jimmy runs up to Hannah here.
Save me, Hannah!
Oh my god.
As he says, "Save me, Hannah," his eyes like start just like pulsating and just like getting big and small and big and then small. And there is a whole thing with Harry, where he becomes a drama major.
Too much for me in my pithy soul. The light burns. It burns worse than the worst burn ever. Oh, mercy me. Is this the end of poor Harry? It seems so. Goodbye, mother. I can see a long tunnel with a bright light. I move towards the light. Go, all right. I die.
Fairy godmother says, wrap it up. Come on, man.
And I die.
And then at this point, Scary Godmother gives Hannah a key that says, "Hey, you ever want to come hang out again? Here's a key. Put it in any door, and it's a portal to our dimension." A little scary right there. Let's just say that. Scary Godmother is an experience. And if you have not watched it yet this Halloween, please, please, don't. Please do. No, like I said, just Scary Godmother on YouTube. It's there for
free.
You. It right there on YouTube. 100% free. So overall, my thoughts on the movie is, while it is semi a pain to watch, I love it. For me, it's nostalgia, a lot of it, because I remember when it came out, and I remember watching it while I was living in Rio Doso, New Mexico, and I was just like, man, this is some next level shit. I'm like 8, 9, something like that at the time, but I was just like, man, now this
quality
is
content.
Quality, and I looked forward to it. I remember watching it one year. They had it on like maybe like 5 different times in a week, and I watched every single time I could because it was so good. Like, even growing up, it's so bad, but the bad is what makes it good. It's one of those.
It's really weird because I did
it's like The Room.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, I ended up going to like IMDb page. I can't really remember why, but like so many people like wrote in like user reviews, just like they love this movie. This movie was their childhood. They rewatch it every year.
The YouTube comments are still active to this day. People are still commenting on YouTube about like, hey, I'm here.
Who's watching this in 2019?
Yeah, yeet. This movie has 2.3 million views on YouTube. It's just astounding. It's beautiful.
Over 4,000 comments.
Over 4,200 comments. If you look, they also have the sequel, which only has 680. It's obviously not as good, but you know. Oh, also, to be stated, these videos on YouTube are also in 480p. I want to throw that out there. It's pretty old. DVD quality, as they say. You have to watch it. Honestly, it's like us talking about it and just me ranting a little bit about these movies. It doesn't do it justice because I think the biggest thing besides their like offshoot jokes, which are varied and not very far between, the animation. It's eye candy. They took everything right about animation and then they went with like the opposite viewpoint. Yeah. There's no consistency. The backgrounds are it was the wild west of CGI.
It's wonky. I remember watching this and I got through it and I didn't feel as bad as I do right now. Maybe it's because I had to think about it a little bit more.
That's the best part though. The best part about these nostalgic movies is when you go back and then maybe you won't do it now. But Leah, maybe in a year, you're going to be sitting there in your apartment or home or wherever you're at that time. And you're going to think, it's October. I have to watch Scary Godmother. You know where to find it. You know what it's going to have. You're going to have some friends over and you're just going to be like, you know what we should watch at this moment? Scary Godmother.
You're literally the only friend I would make you watch this with me.
Scary Godmother. It's time. Like, bring it up. If you're watching, like, Birdemic, Shock and Terror, if you're bringing, like, The Room, add this to the B movie night because it is a top quality. The writing is just, Voila?
Voila!
Voila, that's it.
Why do we only watch trashy things together? Is it 'cause we're trash?
So coming up on the Idiot Side Quest eventually is going to be an episode on some trashy animes. So you got to stay tuned for that one. That's definitely up there. I recently made Leah watch Domestic Girlfriend. That will be a topic of hot discussion.
I'm gonna say, you know, this is a little bit of a shorter episode, but I'm kind of at my breaking point. My face burns. I've never wanted to die more in my life. I hope you enjoy this content. See us out, man. Let's hit the road.
Watch us on YouTube. That way you cannot see me. Haha.